Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aimi Organics Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Aimi Organics Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us Aimi Organics Management, represented by Mr. Naresh Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Abhishek Patel, Vice President Strategy, and Mr. Bhavin Shah, Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhavin Shah to initiate the proceedings. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Krishan. Good morning, everyone. We are pleased to welcome you all to our earnings conference call to discuss Q3 and nine-month FY25 financials. Please note that a copy of our disclosure is available on the investor section of our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call, which reflects our outlook towards the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with the audio of the same will be made available on the website of the company and exchanges. Please also note that the audio of the conference call is the copyright material of Aimi Organics and cannot be copied, rebroadcast, or attributed in press or media without specific and written consent of the company. Now, I would like to hand over the floor to our CMD, Mr. Naresh Patel, for his opening statement. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhavin. Good morning, everyone. I hope you are all doing well. On behalf of everyone at Aimi Organics, I would like to extend warm New Year wishes to you and your families. As always, I will begin by discussing our perspective on the industry landscape before moving on to our performance for the quarter. Starting with the global economy, we continue to face significant uncertainty, primarily driven by geopolitical tensions and the change in the leadership in the U.S. We will closely monitor how these factors evolve as we move further into 2025. Focusing on the chemical industry, raw material prices have bottomed out, but demand has yet to form as anticipated. As a result, I believe the current scenario of low raw material prices and modest demand is likely to persist through the first half of calendar year 2025. Now, let's look at the industries we serve. Starting with the pharmaceutical intermediates, demand remains modest, with raw material pricing remaining steady throughout the quarter. On the CDMO/CMO front, we are witnessing a significant influx of opportunities in India. As one of the major players in the industry, we had already anticipated this trend. Accordingly, while building the new site at Ankleshwar, we developed all three blocks with the latest technology and machinery, keeping these opportunities in mind. To sum up, we are fully prepared to capitalize on these opportunities, and I believe this will be one of the key growth drivers for us in the coming years. On the battery chemical side, while the long-term outlook remains strong, we are observing delays in the commissioning of new battery capacities in the near term. We are adopting a cautious approach in the segment and focusing on capital expenditure for additives where we already have long-term contracts in place. Semiconductor industry, although we are a new entrant, our discussions with both existing and potential clients have been very encouraging. We are doing some very interesting stuff with clients in Japan and Korea, and I hope that we will see the fruits of the same in coming years. Commodity chemicals, the situation remains unchanged from the previous quarter, with pricing under pressure due to oversupply. Overall, we remain cautiously optimistic about an improvement in the industry landscape in the coming quarters. Moving on to the business performance, I am pleased to share that we have already reached nearly the same revenue as the entire previous financial year within the first 9 months of FY25, totaling 698 crore. Looking at the quarterly number, we are continuing to deliver robust growth with revenue from operations increasing by 65.2% year-on-year and 11.5% sequentially to 275 crore. This growth was driven by a ramp-up in our CDMO business, along with steady growth in the advanced pharmaceutical intermediate segment. I would also like to highlight that we have around several additional projects in the CDMO pipeline, which has progressed to final stages. Discussions with innovators and partners are progressing well, and most of these projects are expected to begin commercialization by FY26. Consequently, we anticipate our overall CDMO business to reach approximately 1,000 crore by FY28 compared to 80-90 crore in the last financial year. Looking ahead with a better visibility of Q4, I am confident that we will beat our previous growth estimate of 30% growth for FY25, and therefore I would like to revise growth guidance upward from 30% to 35% for FY25. Now, I will hand over the floor to our Vice President of Strategy, Abhishek Patel, for further business updates. Over to you, Abhishek.
Thank you, Naresh Bhai. Good morning, everyone. Let me provide further insight into our business performance. Starting with pharmaceutical intermediates, this segment delivered strong growth with revenue increase by 85.7% year-on-year and 16.1% sequentially to 239 crore in Q3 FY25. Growth was driven by continued ramp-up in our CDMO business and steady performance in advanced pharmaceutical intermediate segment. Our focus remains on chronic therapeutic area, including anti-cancer, antidepressant, seizure disorder, antipsychotic, Parkinson's disease, anticoagulant, and cardiovascular treatments. Moving to the key growth driver for pharma intermediate business, which is CDMO business. As Naresh Bhai mentioned, we have long-term growth plan for this segment, and we are confident in achieving our targets. However, please note that we are unable to disclose specific CDMO revenue numbers for the current and upcoming financial year due to confidentiality constraints as per agreement with the customers. Now, specialty chemical business, the segment reported revenue of 36 crore, a slight decline compared to the same quarter last year. Sequentially, revenue dropped by around 11%, primarily due to lower volume in our commodity business, chemical business. Within specialty chemical, the BFC business remained flat year on year, but the showed steady sequential growth. We believe Q2 was the bottom for BFC revenue, and we expect consistent growth from here onward. Capital expenditure side, CapEx for the first 9 months, FY25 stood at 118 crore, primarily allocated to Ankleshwar site, as well as solar and electrolyte additive projects. Let me give some further updates on the CapEx. At Ankleshwar site 1, I am happy to share that Block 2 has commercialized successfully, and Block 1 should be commercialized by end of the quarter, this quarter. Coming to electrolyte additive CapEx, the CapEx is well on track and is expected to be completed by H1 FY26. With that, I will now hand over our floor to CFO Bhavin Shah for the financial update. Over to you, Bhavin Bhai.
Thank you, Abhishek. I would like to briefly highlight the key performance metrics for the quarter before we open the floor for questions. I will start with quarterly performance. Revenue from operation for the quarter reached 275 crore, representing 65.2% growth YOY and 11.5% on QOQ basis. Gross profit for the quarter was 127.2 crore, reflecting 78% increase compared to the same period last year. The gross margin expanded by 333 basis points YOY and 281 basis points sequentially to 46.2%. Gross margin was driven by better product mix. EBITDA for the quarter was 68.7 crore, which was more than 2.5x when compared to the same period last year. EBITDA margin were at 25%, up 904 basis points YOY and 198 basis points
QOQ basis. EBITDA margin was driven by expansion in gross margin as well as operating leverage. PAT for the quarter was 45.4 crore, which grew more than 2.5x compared to the PAT of 17.8 crore in Q3 FY24. PAT margin for the quarter was 16.5%, which shows expansion of 582 basis points YOY and 133 basis points on QOQ basis. Moving on to the performance for the 9 months, revenue from operation for the 9 months 2025 reached 698 crore, representing a growth of 41.8% year-over-year. As Naresh mentioned, this is almost close to our full-year revenue FY24. EBITDA for the 9 months FY25 was 146.6 crore, up 41.8% YOY. PAT for 9 months FY25 was at 97.7 crore, up 78.3% YOY when compared to the adjusted PAT for the same period last year. Moving on to the balance sheet item, net cash and cash equivalent were at 306 crore. I am happy to share that even with strong growth, we were able to control our working capital, which was 95 days during 9 months FY25, as against 108 days as on H1 FY25. This was driven by improved debtor days and stable inventory. Better working capital management led to long generation of cash flow from operation of 119 crore, which was 81% of the EBITDA for the 9 months FY25. Overall, as Naresh sir has mentioned, we are well on the track to deliver more than 35% of growth for the year with improved EBITDA margins. With that, I request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Naresh Bhai. Good morning. After all the efforts, finally, things seem to be settling in the right direction. I just wanted to understand, we have good visibility as far as our pharma intermediate and CDMO business is concerned for the next 2 years. But what are the steps we are taking to build growth engine intact after 2027? Next 2 years, as I understand the business, I think business is reasonably secure and clear. But after 2027, what are the initiatives which we are building today in order to drive the growth engine ahead thereafter?
Good morning, Bharat Bhai. Thank you very much for asking this question. As you know that our business model is divided into the originator business, generic, our own generic business, as well as first to file business. So we have business security till 2040. We had already done developing molecule for generic application up to 2040, which will cater our steady growth for up to 2040 with the customer also secure. So in that sense, we are worried about the business. We are regarding to the growth, which is exponential growth, which is expected by everyone, which is coming from our new chemical entities business as well as CDMO and CMO business in pharma, which is going very well. We have a lot of CMO, CDMO in pipelines. One is very major. That's why it is highlighted very well. But there are some others which are also moderately good in quantity and quality in a revenue point of view. And we already said that in FY26, some of our coming out. Similarly, there are several which is coming in FY27, 28, 29. So we have a good visibility in terms of CMO, because there are some molecules which are in phase three, some are in a later stage of clinical approval also. So that will bring our future growth into the business as well. And that is the reason why we had built up this new facility, considering these modern requirement and latest policy requirement by the FDA as well.
So apart from the generics where we have long-term visibility, are there further engines being built today for maintaining or accelerating growth beyond 2027?
Yes, sir. Baba Fine Chem is one of the master investment, I can say, because that has a huge potential to grow in semiconductor sector. We are already producing photoresist chemical, but we have several another back and packaging side, also some chemicals which already developed. And now these monomers and chemicals we are pushing in Japan and Korea, which will be matured in next couple of years. So that also adding a new additional growth driver for our future, as well as electrolyte additives are, we have only two in the past, but now we have more than 12 electrolyte additives now. And these all are also, we will be used by all the battery cell manufacturer. That also will be used, and we are already started qualification stage in with the existing customer as well as the new customer. And beauty is that we have right from beginning, we are in line with the Chinese price. So whether IRA will there or not there, it is not impacting us, because Chinese price is in line with us. It will be in fact beneficial for us if the IRA is not there. Then we can have a leverage of raw material sourcing from other cheaper nations, and that will also help us to have an addition in the margin as well. So this is a good move for us in terms of positioning ourselves in electrolyte as well.
And specialty chemicals, any insight you want to
say? Specialty chemical segment is a highly commoditized segment, which is we acquired from Gujarat Organics. We done a lot of development in that size. We sustain ourselves with this highly price pressure, raw material drop down, top line eroded by 30%, even though we are sustaining the market sales of our. So that is the reason why we had, till now in last 3 years, we had not declined our revenue in specialty chemicals with the maintaining the EBITDA at a very double digit level. So that is a good achievement for us. Now we had also done some good qualification in regulated market for specialty chemical as well, which is under validations right now. So once it will go, then it will also 27, it will also give a very good fruit in terms of specialty chemicals as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Nadesh, and all the very best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Krishnan Parvani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Nadesh Bhai, Abhishek Bhai. Congratulations on very strong set of numbers. So three questions from my side. Firstly, on the margin front, I believe on account of higher CDMO contribution, EBITDA margins have jumped to almost like 25%. Do you think that with further ramp up of CDMO business and solar power benefit, your margins could reach 26-27%, or you think 25% is a peak for us?
So on a margin side, as you know that we have improved GM by 281 basis point in this financial and EBITDA of 5%. And we expect quarter-on-quarter improvement going forward in next financial year also. It will be always a sequential improvement in next financial year on the revenue as well as on the margin side. But on a blended side, we can expect that we will cross the EBITDA margin for the full year of the highest peak EBITDA margin of more than 23.5%, which we recorded our highest margin. But obviously, these margins are sustainable, and the way the business is doing, these are definitely a sustainable margin.
Got it, got it. And on the second CDMO contract, are we on track to start the supplies from 4Q FY25? As indicated, I think Naresh had indicated during the last call.
Yeah, it is. The validations are under review, and it will be definitely start from FY26, the commercial supply for second CDMO, from block two of unit two.
Okay, okay. And last bit, so on, how's the demand visibility from apixaban and rivaroxaban intermediates?
As everybody knows that it is publicly available, the apixaban is expiring in 2026, so the demand already started for APIs and then API manufacturing. And we already have a ramp-up in this Q3 as a small quantity. Q4, it will be little bit higher. And by FY26, we are expecting to go to at a very moderate level against the very minimizing last couple of financial year. Rivaroxaban is an expiry FY26-27, so it will be ramped up by end of this year. But still, we are selling some quantities to the our partners in Europe as well as in India.
Understood. Understood, sir. Thank you so much for patiently answering my question. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sundarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, you know, quite happy to see the ramp-up in the pharma intermediates being much, much faster than expected, thanks to the CDMO. So my question is, you know, today, what is the capacity utilization? And whatever the CapEx that you have done in the past, given that, you know, the existing product itself is doing well for us, and there are multiple products that are there, then do we have, you know, capacities in place to cater the kind of, you know, growth that you talked about, you know, to the thousand growth? Or do you think that we will have to acquire more land? And can you give some color?
On a capacity front, let me update that at unit one, Sachin, capacity is more than 70% utilized. At unit two, 50% capacity utilization we have achieved in block three, which is already capitalized. And at unit three, the capacity utilization is 50%. So we have room available for pharma intermediate business at unit two, and the next block is already inaugurated, block number two, and block number one is also expected to get commercialized by end of March this March quarter. So it will cover largely our capacity requirements for next 2 to 3 years requirement. And for spec chem business, the capacity is already at 50% utilization at 50% level, so that will also cater our capacity requirement for next 3 year time. At for the new business of electrolyte additive, you already know that CapEx is going on, which is expected to get completed by H1 FY26, and that will again secure our capacity, our revenue requirement for next 3 years. So this way, we are quite very well placed to support our growth for next year. And of course, it's a industry cycle, so as and when it's required, maybe 1.5-2 years in advance, citing the new next level of revenue growth, we will have additional land acquired as and when required. Even today also, we have 18,000 square meter land available at Sachin GIDC, which can be used for some additional requirement. But for high CapEx, we can have additional land in future.
Sure. Sir, if I split the, you know, two businesses, I mean, you usually give the margins across the two businesses. I would, you know, assume that if I look at the final overall margins of 25%, the pharma intermediates in this quarter should be north of 30%. I mean, is that right? If you can give some color on that.
Come again?
Pharma. The margins between the specialty and the pharma.
So advanced pharma intermediate margin for the quarter is 26.4%, and specialty is 15.16% blended.
So both has increased. Sir, just to, you know, taking forward the previous participants, the margins today is at 25% with around 50 to 60% utilization, across both the plants. I mean, intuitively, as the CDMO proportion increases, from the current product and the new product, I'm not talking about next year, say 3 years down the line. Should we be looking at, say, a margin closer to, say, 30%? Which is also something, a lot of CDMO players are doing, and it's not very different. So just wanted to understand a bit about how much an operating leverage as you scale up this business can contribute.
So you, as you know, that CDMO business has just ramped up in this Q3 FY25. And with the commercialization of other two blocks also, our operational efficiency will again kick in. And it will definitely go beyond the 25% mark, no doubt on this. It can reach to, let's say, 27 to 30% also. But you have to be understand that this CDMO business, not the API, it's an intermediate business. So that industry, other player, we contain ourselves little conservative as against others for guiding gross margin, EBITDA margins.
So one final question before I join back the queue is on the specialty side, and if I look at the
Sorry to interrupt. I would request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up question. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your question to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, I would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning all. Many congratulations, Naresh Bhai and team, for such great execution. My first question, Naresh Bhai, is on your management commentary that the pipeline of CDMO projects is progressing well. So just wanted to understand, are you talking here about the current couple of patented products which are kind of scaling up, or you're also talking about projects which are beyond, let's say, FY27-28, which will kind of progress to phase 2, phase 3 in the next 12 months, and you will get visibility over the next 12-15 months or so. So I just wanted to understand if you can split between the next 12-15 months and beyond that as well, what is the visibility you are getting on some of the patented projects that you will be working on?
Thank you. Thank you, Nikhil Bhai. It's an on-dot question. Due to confidentiality nature of the agreements and because it's a clinical trials, I can't disclose more on that, but you are rightly says that. I'm talking about the existing as well as the new CDMO, CMO, which will be matured in 27, 28, 29. So these all are moving very good, and it's a strong, robust pipeline we have with multiple application in terms of pharmaceutical final doses form. So it's these all are ramping from, so some, several are moving from phase 2 to now phase 3, some are phase 3 to the approval stage. So that will be coming in 27-28, like that.
So can we extrapolate, sir, that the current success that you are seeing in the on the patented side, that is leading to better and more inquiries ever since this success has been visible to other customers as well? Can it be assumed?
You can feel like that, but for me, I can say that I started my career and this company on clinical trial only. And then I move on to the generic. So we have a lot of molecules which are we supply sometimes in a very early stage development or on some are in a later stage development. But the, whoever we, the customers who are with big names in a Europe or US or in Japan originators, they now also realize that we are fully capable enough to execute at a very large scale production for any kind of requirement in terms of regulatory as well as in terms of supply chain without any deviation or without any hurdle. So that is one of the things which give them the confidence. Definitely you say is one of the right thing that yes, with the success of this current project give a lot of confidence to our buyer. And that also encouraging them to give us more project to us as well.
Got it. So another question I had was a slightly longer term horizon. the peptide-based development is kind of gaining. I mean, it always has been in prominence, but it is only going up and will go up in the coming 10-15 years as well. We talk about GLP-1, but at a very broad level, peptides are finding they are getting tested and tried for multiple other indications as well. And then hence an assumption that next 10-15 years, a company which is on the chemistry side will have to be in the larger molecules and essentially in the peptide side as well. So any broad thoughts you can share on how AMI Organics is placed to latch onto this tailwind, maybe not next 2-3 years, but beyond that, is that something which we can look forward to from AMI Organics standpoint as well?
Our AMI Organics is a chemistry-driven company, and we are very strong in chemistry. This is our core strength. And based on that, we had nurtured our business in a horizontal manner. Peptide is the future, definitely, but it is not solution for all the diseases. That is, definitely peptide is used for some diseases, but it is not future for all the diseases. Synthetic chemistry or synthetic drug will never go out or phase out in the system, right? And there is a huge potential available for us. In fact, in peptide also, there is a synthetic chemistries are required, and there also opportunity available for us, and we are already catering this kind of small opportunity. What we have, we are getting it. But being in our, it's not our core area of bio, people are rushing towards the gold. I don't want to put myself into the same rush, because by this way, I'm risking my existing infrastructure as well as my future of my company. So we are highly focused company, which is, we know our strengths and weaknesses, and we are focusing on that area only. So peptide may be good for someone, but it is not that great for me as for the today or for the future.
Understood, sir. And just one final question, if I may please squeeze in. On the base intermediate portfolio, which is on the generic side, can you give some sense, sir, how EBITDA per ton, or if you can talk about margins, how margins have played out in last 12 months or so, and if there is a recovery at some point in time, maybe not this year, but let's say in FY27 or sometime, can there be a big reversal in EBITDA per ton or margins, whichever you want to talk about?
To be very honest, nature and sensitivity of some agreements as well as commitment, we have stopped doing this bifurcation and all, because it is impacting on our future contracts as well. So that's why we are more, we are committing to improve ourselves, and that you can see in last 10 quarters, 12 quarters.
Sir, I'm talking about the portfolio where there is pricing pressure last couple of years due to demand or Chinese dumping.
As I told you every time that Chinese pressure is not directly impacting us. It is impacting to my manufacturer. You can see my all last 4 quarters where I did the commentary. You can get your answer from that as well, that it is not, and then we find out the way out to how to maintain our margin there as well.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a very good set of numbers. So first question is on the pharma intermediates front, excluding the CDMO part. So this is just the beginning of 2025. So how are we expecting the pricing environment from our customers, given that last couple of years have been relatively benign, although it is stable? But given that hopefully the inventory situation, et cetera, has been managed, whether there is an improvement as far as the 2025 contracts are concerned, so your views from the customer interactions. Thank you.
Yes. Apart from the CDMO patented product agreements, raw material prices is stabilized. Our top line is also now stabilized. In the past, when the problem arise for our end user, we change our contracts to the spot basis, and now we return back to the contract. And this contract is now very well executed, and that contract also and rolling forecast also giving us a good visibility for us for the next 1 year, 1.5 years. So that by that's why we are very much confident about our margin claim. Whatever we are announcing, that is all based on the. Even our incremental forecast, the revenue forecast for this quarter also based on this contracts as well as the visibility which is provided by the generic uptaking manufacturers from us only.
That's helpful. Second question on the battery chemicals and semiconductor. So here still we are at initial stage in terms of commercialization of the plant as well as qualifications. Maybe in FY 2027-28 when we will start the supplies, what is the kind of revenue potential that we are looking at, and whether the margins also will be in a similar range of CDMO, or there will be a change in terms of the margin profile for these two particular segments? Thank you.
In terms of the capacity point of view, we already announced that we are putting a plant for 4,000 metric ton inclusive all additives, which will give you the guidance about the revenue as well as the margin. Right from beginning, when we develop, we always said that the margin will be better than specialty and but lower than pharma. So this is the same thing which is right now is applicable for us in terms of electrolyte additives as well.
And the same goes for Semicon as well?
No, Semicon is a very different ball of game where we are the only company in India who are right now have a good situation and position ourselves in this Semicon supply, physical chemical supply, where the margins are much higher than the pharma as well as CDMO. It may vary from 40% to 65%. Depends on the which product, at what scale, and this all depends on customer to customer as well. So it is not a low margin product at all, because it's very high purity molecules which we are making, which is a very unique strength of Baba Fine Chem, which is they know the know-how how to produce this kind of molecule.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the connection for the current participant. We will move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Naresh bhai, just one clarification. When you say CDMO, are you referring to all sales that you make to innovator pharma companies, or is there any other way you're splitting the business?
See, mostly CDMO is, Ami Organic is doing the CDMO only for the innovator pharma companies, or the innovator pharma companies, tall manufacturer based in Europe or in India. So we don't do the generic CDMO or CMO because it's we are way beyond of these kind of things. So it's a small company, very initial company, they can do this kind of big CMO, but we are doing only CDMO, CMO for originators, either directly or supplying to the tall manufacturer of the originators based in Europe, China or in India.
Right, and that is the business which you expect to get to 1,000 crores by fiscal 28, right?
Yeah.
And just a follow-up on this, would you be able to give a split of the supplies you make to innovators or their sole manufacturers? Currently, what proportion would be for products that are off-patent versus, say, those that are all under patent or those that are still in development? Can you give that split?
Prasanth bhai, if I will be 2 years back, I would love to do this, but this has bring lot of problem to my marketing team. So we now stop this kind of sharing because we are generating our own competitors. So we don't want to discuss these kind of things on a call or on one-on-one anywhere.
No worries. Would the split of, would the share of products that are under development or under patent go up over the next few years? I mean, I know there's one big contract which obviously will lead in that direction. But beyond that, in your pipeline, would you have enough molecules which are either under development or still on patent that are yet to scale up?
So I can narrate it like this. You may be figure out from there. We have more than 570 molecules last year, till last year invoiced. Maybe this year it will be added another 40-50. Out of that, in a clinical trial, somewhere around 60 to 80 molecules are right now either in phase 2 or phase 1 kind of things which we are supplying to them. So this is one of the, from there you can narrate about your whatever you want to get an answer from that.
Great. Yeah, that's useful. Thank you. That's all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Yash from Stallion Assets. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just with respect to your CDMO business, could you tell me what is the expected asset turns, on the CAPEX that you are estimating by FY28?
Normally, we target any asset turns which we invest would be 3x. So, similar kind of use. You should be make your assets or calculation like that.
Okay, okay. And you know, I just from a longer term perspective, because, you know, we're seeing some headwinds in the specialty chemical business. So, you know, like, what was the reason for having that segment? You know, why don't we just concentrate on the pharma intermediate side of the business? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just new to the company, so I just want to understand the...
No worries.
See, let me tell you one thing. If I will be only pharma last 2 years, I will be in a trouble. If I will be on a subsidy also, I will be in a trouble. Ami Organic is always focusing on a sustainability and long-term growth. And that can be... So what happened that? Our policy right from beginning is that not depend on one customer, not depend on one product, not depend on one area. And this is how we develop pharma, agro, specialty, polymer, petrochemicals. So if one segment will not perform well, another segment will help support to us. And that is one of the reason that every year, every quarter on quarter, we have an improvement in our revenue. And also it has been also giving us an improvement in our operating leverage as well. So these are multiple things which help us to remain in the position. And not only that, specialty chemicals is also very lucrative. It requires a lot of efforts to make viable for that, and that what we are doing right now. We also knew in specialty last 4 years only, we enter in this. So we are also learning, and we learn a lot of things in that, and that will give us the fruit in upcoming years as well.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rikin Shah from The Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Manish Bhai. A very stellar quarter. I remember not too long back, there were questions on margins, you know, being ever recovering. My question is, I know you have expanded on the battery chemical segment, but perhaps with the geopolitical changes that have happened, has our stance as a company changed or altered for this?
No, because we have an agreement in place, and our position is great in terms of the competition against the competitor based in China as well. Thing is that our buyers would be ready, so they have some limitations to start. So once that limitation is over by the, and they got the green light from the final OEM EV manufacturer, it will be ramp up very quickly for us. If that not happen, then we have any IRA is completely vanished, then market is open for everyone. And then in that case, we are very happy in that to cater that worldwide as well.
All right. So in terms of a very molecule specific question, there is a lot of activity by Johnson & Johnson and Caplyta, and they have done an AMPP filing. So they estimate this asset to be more than $5 billion, and we sort of have a process patent for the intermediates of lumateperone. So is there any sort of possibility of having an early entry into this molecule?
We already done that with our partners. There are three partners who had already filed first to file, and now we are waiting for their upcoming. So we are already there.
All right. Okay, that's all from my side. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manav Kapasia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Manav. I would request you to please use your handset.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Firstly, congratulations on a stellar set. My only question was on the spec chem business. the degrowth that we've seen, small degrowth, is it largely on account of BFC or has the base business also seen some problems? And also if you can give the growth for this quarter X of BFC, which you had given last quarter.
Specpin business is a defer. We have an order in place, but it is a defer supply, so that's why it is little bit degrowth in a commodity spectrum of cosmetic as well as parabens. And BFC, as we already said right from beginning of this year, that this year will be muted for us, and that will be happening in BFC. So BFC has a stable every quarter 2 to 3 crore demand right now because of several compliances and all, which is now finished. So from next year, it will be uptake in BFC. But whereas here in specialty chemical segments, where we have some orders which is deferred to this quarter, as well as we also leave some orders based on the pricing as well. So these are the combination of both.
Okay, and X of BFC, if you could give us the growth for this quarter.
We already announced that this quarter growth, the overall year will be 35%.
No, I'm asking for the spectrum business. X of BFC, what would be the growth?
X of BFC, the growth anticipated for full year is more than 15%.
Okay, understood. And you just said that there are some orders that are deferred to this quarter, that is 4Q and maybe 1Q. So this quarter, maybe we should see some recovery in the spectrum business, right?
No. It's definitely going to be recovered, but you see it like this. For Q1 and Q2, the X of BSC spectrum business has done very good, and this is only a cyclical nature for temporary for Q3, and again Q4 will be a normal thing. So overall, for the full year, the expected growth is more than 15%. That's for sure.
Great. Thank you so much. All the best, Naresh Bhai and team. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jason from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks, sir, for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, sir, some quarters back, you used to give a, you know, breakup of your pharma intermediates business in terms of, you know, being 50-55% being for the generic API, then 40-45% for innovator pharma, 5% for CDMO, and 1-3% for import substitutes for domestic pharma. So, sir, currently standing, how does that mix stand as of now?
So we learned this mistake, and now that's why we are saying that we are not breaking it up. We are also learning this how to handle disclosures, because the disclosure is only not for the investors but also for our partners who are buying from us. So that's why we are now restricted ourselves to breaking out everything and giving disclosure to the people.
Sure, sir. So I mean, one thing is for sure, sir, that your CDMO business will definitely, you know, in that mix, it must be the revenue contribution must have increased quite a bit for that. So, just in terms of that, you know, I mean, we have seen, you did mention that you are, you know, tailwinds are strong for CDMO and you target to reach 1,000 crores. That's your target aim by FY28. So, currently, sir, what is the revenue size for CDMO?
The CDMO business last year was 90 crore. This year we have already crossed more than double of that last year's business. But as you mentioned, we are not giving the segment-wise revenue splits from here onwards, from this year onwards.
Okay. And sir, just also, I mean, I understand that you're not giving specific numbers. Just wanted to understand also that, I mean, of course, one is that the darolutamide or the Nubeqa sales will definitely must have helped you and your intermediate sales. So sir, just so I'm not asking about specific details, but just from a directional standpoint, how are you seeing such other long-term contracts, you know, filling up the glacial capacity? How is the pipeline looking going ahead for more and more contracts vis-a-vis, you know, a competition globally as well? How are you seeing India traction playing out? Just wanted from a directional standpoint, how is that looking as this again look to, you know, basically increase capacity utilization for Ankleshwar facility as well?
We look very promising in that area. We are already moving in block two with some CDMO. We have already started, and there are other are under negotiation and discussion and development, so it's going very well. We don't see any issues in terms of demand. It is only in terms of when it will be they are ready to transfer. That is because right now you see CDMO, CMO innovators, either they make themselves or buy from someone. So it's a procedure in pharma where we have to follow it, and it will become soon several new projects which are under pipeline, and development will be start in block one as well.
Okay, sure, sir. And so just one final thing. For BFC, you said the year is muted, but by FY26, are you looking at a significant ramp up in BFC contributing well to top line and bottom line by FY26?
Yes.
Do you see whatever initiatives and whatever strength building up you are doing in BFC with the Japanese and the Korean customers, do we see a significant revenue build up in FY26?
No, not in FY26, but it can go on from FY27. It has already started.
Okay.
Year, as we mentioned, the Q2 was, we see Q2 as a bottom out quarter for a BFC. It has already started moving up, but slowly it will ramp up, not in very green FY26, but 27 onwards, because we have done a lot of seeding in market like Korea and Japan. We have already shipped samples and validation batches has started going. So that I think that will take some time, and it will from 27 onwards it will definitely ramp up.
Okay. So by 27 it should ramp up. Okay. And so
yes.
Just one final thing.
Sorry,
just final,
to
one final
sir.
Yeah.
I would request you to join
yeah.
the queue for your follow-up question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Surya from Niveshya. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations, Naresh Bhai, on a good set of numbers. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question was like, I was checking the investor presentation of the Fermion, right? So Fermion has not grown YOY. So my question was like, जो अपन फर्मियन को जो मॉलिक्यूल सप्लाई कर रहे हैं उसमें अपन ने जो एग्जिस्टिंग उनके सप्लायर है उनको रिप्लेस किया है या फिर फर्मियन में भी बहुत सारे मॉलिक्यूल चला है उनके पास तो जो फर्मियन मतलब जो जिस मॉलिक्यूल के लिए अपन सप्लाई कर रहे हैं वो मॉलिक्यूल ग्रो कर रहा है तो माई क्वेश्चन वो ग्रोथ कहाँ से आ रहा है लाइक इज इट फ्रॉम द रिप्लेसिंग द सप्लायर और द मॉलिक्यूल इटसेल्फ इज ग्रोइंग
वो मॉलिक्यूल भी ग्रो कर रहा है और फॉर्मियन है स्टॉप मैन्युफैक्चरिंग हिंदी में बताता हूँ फॉर्मियन मॉलिक्यूल खुद ही अपने आप ग्रो कर रहा है वो आप कहीं पे भी पब्लिकली डेटा अवेलेबल है आपको मिल जाएगा वहां से एंड मैंने पिछली बार हमने जब भी एग्रीमेंट्स किए तो हमने अनाउंस किया था कि फॉर्मियन अपनी कैपेसिटी अपना फाइनल प्रोडक्ट के लिए यूटिलाइज करने के लिए जो मॉलिक्यूल वो बनाता था वो उन्होंने हमको चूज किया है तो हमसे वो बनवा के ले रहा है
So earlier, someone other was supplying or how was the contact earlier?
Earlier, someone other कौन supply कर रहा था सर आप नाम बताएंगे?
I am not aware of, so I am asking you.
No, I am also not aware of that, sir.
Okay, got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohammed Abbas from Incred Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for taking the call. So I just wanted to know the revenue split between the exports and the domestic business. I believe it's around 209 crores per Q3.
Yes.
You lost your voice.
It's around
76%. 76%, right. So we have seen a significant growth in exports compared to last two quarters. So sir, also wanted to know how is demand visibility in the European market as well as are we on still track for 30% growth guidance earlier?
Sir, we lost your voice. Can you repeat your question, please?
It's too low to hear us.
Hello.
Mr.
Is it better now?
I would request you to please use your handset.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yes.
So how is the demand visibility in European market as well as are we still on track for 30% growth guidance?
Sir.
Yes, we have already guided, Naresh Pai has already guided during his opening remarks.
And the guidance are based on our contracts and commitment from our European as well as other countries' client.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so I just wanted to know, firstly, congratulations for the great results. I just wanted to know the next 2 year kind of guidance and the growth that we are expecting in the top line and the margin.
So we always say that we want to double ourselves in 3 years' time, and so that's a 25 to more than 25% growth guidance we are committing.
And in the top line, do we expect to achieve like 27-30% in the next 3 years in the margins?
Margins are definitely going to improve from here onwards in next financial year and next to next financial year also.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the next follow-up question is from the line of Jason from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Thanks for taking my question again. So this was just in response to a previous participant where you mentioned that, you know, that your CDMO, what you do is basically with innovator companies, or you did mention this with us, or CDMO or with CMOs of these innovator companies. So just one clarification. So if the innovator could be Bayer, and if Fermion makes it, let's say Bayer has given Fermion to make the APIs, so probably you just deal with either Bayer directly or through Fermion. That's what you meant, right? Is my understanding correct?
Here both are originators. So here your say, for example, we say one innovator based in hypothetical innovator based in Europe, and then they have an API manufacturer like DVC is being part of CMO for big pharma's API manufacturing for them. Similarly, so they give to API manufacturer, and API manufacturer, so these innovator ask us to supply to these API manufacturer in India. Similarly, this innovator has the another manufacturer in China. So they also ask us to supply to China as well. So we have to supply to India as well as China. So similar. So if both the innovator, Fermion has said they are selling right to the Bayer. So Bayer is not an innovator there. Bayer and Fermion joint innovator of that molecule, of darolutamide. Whereas the our CMO with us, there is a toll manufacturer of other innovators. To them, we supply them, but it's controlled by the innovator.
Okay, but it's controlled by the innovator directly or indirectly. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Sure, sir. Sure. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Abhishek, you gave some, outlook on margins for next year in your initial comments. Can you please repeat that? I don't think I was able to get that clearly at that time.
So as on date for 9 months, our margin, our blended margin is 21% in 9 months FY24. For FY, it is obviously we are expecting it to improve in Q4 also. And for FY26 for full year, we are expecting this margin on a blended basis to reach at a peak or highest margin ever reported by AMI Organics. It will be on a blended basis. Sequentially, it will improve from Q1 to Q4 for this financial year.
Yeah, and when you say highest ever, you are talking at an annual level, right? Not the highest
annual ever. Level, of course.
All right. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krisha Kumar Yoga, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is, I have two questions. One is the recent regime change in the US. A large South Korean company is actually, the EV company is taking a little pause in the development. So are we seeing any sluggishness in the electrolyte CDMO with the Korean companies.
Can you repeat your question? I couldn't get it. If you can speak louder.
In the US. Yeah. Is it clear? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Sir, am I clear now?
Yes, sir.
Sir, due to regime change in the US, there are large South Korean EV manufacturers taking a little pause in the development. So, are we also seeing any sluggishness in our domestic electrolyte, the one which we recently announced the capex of 170 crores?
For capex of 170 crore, that is for the purpose of electrolyte additive business, which is going on. We have already signed some supply contracts, and we have long-term visibility available for electrolyte additive business, and we are going ahead with this business. But for solution business, which is the Korean JV, which we announced earlier, that we are, that's a status quo we are maintaining, because we don't want to rush into the market which is yet to get fully developed, and we don't want to allocate capital or stuck our capital. We are very cautious in this business, and we'll take a call at a relevant level.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, one small question. In percentage terms, what is the revenue share of ARV intermediate?
We don't have any ARV. Only dolutegravir is there, but that is almost contributing 1% of the total revenue.
Okay. That's right. Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prathamesh from Tiger AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just one question. So do we have potential and, you know, capacity to clock around 100 million USD in gram segment in coming time?
Grams? 100 gram segment, 100 million. We are not CRAMS company dedicated only for CRAMS. We do CMO, CDMO for API early stage up to N-1 intermediates. CRAM is a clinical research and research. So we don't do some bioequivalents and these kind of things. So it's not really what works.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for the clarification. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek from Systematic Groups. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just one question on industry per se. Is the role of artificial intelligence can be used in chemicals also? I mean, you are a CDMO company, so can we use artificial intelligence in work? So if you can throw some light on it.
It's a confidential, but yes, we do some AI in our production. The new plant has some AI implemented in operation.
Achha, so the use of AI is there in CDMO and chemical industry and common industry?
AI is we use in operation, some equipment controls and operations, we use some AI, but this is really an insider, but inside, we don't want to disclose these kind of things, our new things.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you to the JM Financial team for hosting our conference call. We appreciate everyone's question and hope we have addressed most of your queries. If we missed any of the questions, please reach out to our investor relations team, and we will get back to you promptly. Thank you very much and have a good day to you.
On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.